And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by New Era. Today, it's DJ and Rhett. But Rhett, hold on. Hytham, hit the other music. Oh, boy!
Now we're talking.
A little college football this weekend.
Let's do it.
How great is this? I love it. And look, Bucky is not here today. Rhett is in for Buck. But Rhett, I know all three of us share our passion and excitement for college football. And we get to talk a little college football.
It's so good. I was away for a little while. Actually, this last weekend, it was in outside of Las Vegas, and I was at a hotel, and I was walking in the hotel, and like I saw a Clemson game on, and I was like, I did double take, and I was like, what
is this happening?
Is there college football?
Ah,
right,
it's
now?
So good.
No, we're ready. We got a couple of games. I know we're going to preview week zero.
Yeah, just some of the prospects to look at.
A couple of the prospects to look at here that coming up, and then we've got a big QB show to do.
We've got a big quarterback show today. And again, for those that are just checking us out, if you listen to us talk about the NFL, going, what the heck is this college? Look, it all gets towards the draft. That's the way we look at this in the college football season. So every week we're going to have a college podcast where we're looking to what future NFL players we're keeping our eye on, great matchups, how that works in the NFL world, what the NFL world will be paying attention to. And we're going to do that with a couple games this weekend from an NFL standpoint, players to watch, and then the quarterbacks that you're going to be hearing about all spring as we run up to the draft. I wrote an article and could have put them in different clusters based off talking to people around the NFL. Which created a little interest there. Some people weren't happy with some of those, as you can imagine. So we're going to discuss those. You saw a bunch of them down at the Manning Passing Academy. Yeah. Got to be around these guys and know these guys, so can't wait to get your insight on that as well. And then for fun, for those that don't know, Rhett played at the University of Indiana. And while I am a huge...
Indiana University. Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, is it? Oh, IU. Yeah. Why do I say University of Indiana? University of Illinois?
Sure.
It's not Illinois. It's University of Illinois and then Indiana University.
It's fine.
Anyways, I should know that because I'm a huge
I'm a huge IU hoops fan.
But I'm not an IU football guy. But anyways, and I went to App State, Appalachian State. So we're going to go.
We're going to go through our schedules, right?
But this is the twist.
What?
I'm going to go through your schedule and tell you wins and
losses.
You can go through mine and tell me wins and losses.
Fine.
Okay?
Fine.
All right, so we'll have some fun with that. But let's start things off here. Yeah. With the quarterbacks.
Please.
And looking at this group of quarterbacks, last year we had a year where I would say it wasn't sexy. Kyler Murray emerged and then became the sexy quarterback. They ended up being first overall, no doubt. But Daniel Jones, I don't know how many casual NFL fans were paying attention to what he was doing at Duke.
During the season? Probably not.
And Dwayne Haskins really came on the scene in a big way last year. But this year, we're coming into the season with guys, household names, people that if you've paid attention to college football, you've seen these guys for a couple years now. So that gets me to tier one on this list of clustered quarterbacks. Coming in the season, Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. Justin Herbert. Most people have it 1-2 either way on that. Yeah. And then there's a third guy in that first cluster, though, is Jordan Love from Utah State.
Everyone's like, what?
And they're, trust me. And this is somebody last year. I talked to a good scout, and he says great reputation. He's done a good job with this position with quarterbacks. He had just gone through his West Coast swing, and he called me and told me where he'd been. I said, oh, how was Herbert? He goes, good. Wasn't the best quarterback I saw, though. I go, really? He goes, no, the kid at Utah State I think is better than him. Wow. Okay. So then I just flipped on the first game I flipped on because I was told to was the Michigan State game. And you can watch him run around, make all kinds of plays, very athletic, live arm, and somebody that I know you got a chance to be around down there at the Manning Passing Academy.
I love.
No pun.
No, it really wasn't. Jordan Love. He threw out of the entire 4 days, they do three workouts and a competition. Jordan Love threw the single best ball.
Okay.
Of the Manning Passing Academy. It was a deep post that he threw like a two ball, right? Mm-hmm. So you got a one, you got a two, you got a three. Not loft. I mean, this thing was on a rope with with a little nice arc about 45, 50 yards downfield.
Wow.
And it made you go, whoa.
Yeah.
So now, just to give you a sense of who else was there, Herbert was there. Trevor Lawrence was there. You know, we've got, Jake Fromm was there. Nate Stanley was there. Joe Burrow was there. So, I mean, this is a good group of quarterbacks that were down there on staff coaching up the high school kids and Love through the single best ball. I really enjoyed talking to him because I was curious. I was talking to David Carr about him because he grew up in the Bakersfield area as, you know, David coaches down there. I was like, hey, what do you know about Jordan Love? He's like, oh, you know, he was a really good kid. You know, he was a really good player. He's like, I'm worried about him this year, you know, because they got a real coaching change, right?
Yeah.
And so Jordan said that the new coaching staff came in and kept the same offense they ran from last year. They are going to run the same thing. You don't see that very often.
Very rarely.
Right? So he was really comfortable with what they're doing. I love talking to him. I love having a conversation with him. I love watching him. I'm all in on Jordan Love.
I love that. And just for the record, Trevor Lawrence, not draft eligible, so therefore
not on the list.
He would have been in tier zero.
That's right.
If there was such a tier that does not exist. By the way, over under on number of times I refer to Trevor Lawrence as Joey Lawrence before he's drafted in the NFL.
We'll set it at 17.
Okay.
And that's I'm going to over.
Whoa. Yeah. Hide them mouthing whoa behind the glass. Well done. I just gained so much respect for you back there for that. All right. Tua and Herbert. Herbert was down there, right? Tua was not there this year.
So for the second straight year, Tua was scheduled to be there, but Tua, for whatever reason, wasn't able to make it.
Yeah.
And so that was disappointing because that was going to be a real star-studded deal. You get Herbert, Lawrence, and Tua in the same place in the same weekend. Yeah, that would have been a special deal. So look, I've seen everything you've seen about him on tape. I mean, when healthy, he is as good as there is in college football.
Accurate anticipation. I mean, and off
athletic.
The charts. And to me, instinctive.
Yeah.
And, look, there's...
He's got that big game gene, too, which we saw when he first came in. So.
No doubt. No, there's a lot to like there. Now, there are some detractors around the league. Oh, he's not, I don't like his size. And which,
we're done
to
with
me,
that.
I don't know why we're still having that conversation. Right? But there's some old school people that still say that. And then I just don't think he has a huge arm. His anticipation is so good. And I've seen him throw live. It's plenty good enough. I mean, he doesn't have as strong arm as Russell Wilson, but it's good enough. And the anticipation and feel and accuracy, he's got all that in a big way. Yep. So anyways, that's our Tua. Herbert, how did Herbert look down there?
So Herbert, as you like to say easy gas, right? He had the easiest gas out of all of them. I mean, he could throw it a mile. So like for the skills competition that they do on Saturday night down there in Thibodeau, they have these golf carts, okay? And they run a golf cart across the field at 10 yards. They run another one across at 20 yards. And then they send one up the sideline, okay, like a deep ball. And you got to hit the golf cart with the ball. The first two, you should be able to hit them, right? Yeah. They're right there in front of you. You can anticipate it. But that last golf cart, it is impossible to kind of judge the speed, okay? So everyone shorts it. I have never seen anyone overthrow the golf cart going at max speed with about a 35-yard head start.
Yeah.
Herbert overthrew the golf cart. Okay? Herbert overthrew the golf cart. And look, he was the talk, kind of the buzzy talk of the camp, kind of like Goff was a couple of years ago. So sitting there, a ton of QB coaches down there. And I'm friends with a bunch of them. So I'm sitting there kind of talking about it. Everyone said, I would love to get my hands on Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. He is still so raw. Mm-hmm. So I think there's, we haven't seen the best of Justin Herbert yet, which is kind of exciting because he's got all the tools.
And in this article, NFL.com, you can find this thing, my Clusterbuster article here. I got a quote from an executive on each of these guys. And so the quote on Justin Herbert, I love him. He's the next great one. He's big, athletic, has a huge arm. I saw him in camp. He was just there, just visited. He's made improvements with his accuracy. He hasn't even scratched the surface of how good
he is. Just saw him in 2 days.
Yeah,
he just saw him. He just saw him in the training camp.
Yeah, within the last couple weeks. Yeah. Also, amazing character. And I've been a chance to talk to him 3 or 4 times as we go to these Pac-12 media days and see him different places. And he is. He's a good kid. Starting to come out of his shell a little bit more. That's going to be kind of what teams are looking for, because you've got Marcus Mariota, very quiet, came out of that out of that program. We want to see Justin Herbert open up a little bit more. And he's done a better job of that. So did you get a chance to talk with
him? I talked to him a little bit. I'd say the same thing. Not a bunch, but he is one of those yes sir guys, and was just like a really, I was like, hey man,
Yeah, loosen up. I'm not your teacher.
But
technically, you are a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But I was impressed.
Could he be your son? How old are you?
No.
How old would you be there?
I'm 36. So
he's 20.
Yeah. Let's one. Say no. Yeah.
It's a little early for you.
It's a little early. Yeah.
Young man, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those.
Okay.
What you got in cluster two?
All right, cluster two. I'm going to give you the names here, and you can just give me anybody that you saw down there or stood out. We got Jake Fromm from Georgia, who some people, a lot of variance there. Some people in the NFL think he's going to be a really good player. Other people think he just simply does not have the arm, doesn't have the arm power to be able to go. So he's the top of cluster two. Nate Stanley from Iowa, a lot of love on the streets for him, and Joe Burrow from LSU. So those are the guys in cluster
All two. Three of those guys were down there. I've gotten to know a couple of years that he's now been down there.
How did you feel about the velocity? Put your scout hat on, Rhett.
He didn't throw.
There you go. No answer.
He didn't throw. So I couldn't see him live this year. He was dealing with some sort of, I think, a little bit of a back injury. But that dude is thick.
Yeah. Is he really? So I got to see his body type. I haven't seen
him. You don't notice it. I didn't notice it live. I mean, his legs are tree trunks. His lower half is thick. This is a really solid dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's why he's held up in the SEC for as long as he has here. I mean, he's one of those gamer types. He's got a little edge to him a little bit.
Everybody loves him as a dude.
He is a magnetic guy.
Yeah.
For sure. I give him that, no question. So I wish I could have seen him throw.
How about Nate Stanley?
Really interesting.
A little Stanley steamer.
Really? So aside for the fact that he threw seven touchdowns against Indiana last year.
Ooh,
I did.
That's all?
I did put that.
Did he play the second half?
Maybe it was six touchdowns. I don't care. But it was, I had to put that aside and I went up and talked to him because I was like, I was watching the very first workout they did, which is actually before the camp even starts. Peyton Manning is running his group of quarterbacks and standing back there. They're working on some drops. Every time through, Peyton is complimenting Nate Stanley's drop.
Mm-hmm.
Really fast feet, really purposeful drop.
Mm-hmm.
And he approached the workout like I remember seeing Peyton approach workouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like Von Miller was coming around the edge every time. Like it was Super Bowl 50 every time, every drop, every throw. And so, I mean, Peyton was not complimenting everyone.
Yeah.
And he was complimenting Nate Stanley. And so I went up and talked to him afterwards. And he was like, yeah, man, I've actually been really working on my footwork and my feet, you know, trying to kind of remove the perception that I'm not an athletic quarterback, that I can't get out of the pocket and move. And he threw the ball really well. I mean, and look, I was really impressed with Nate. So that was my one takeaway there on Stanley.
The nugget I had talking to executive, I'd put Stanley right up there behind Herbert and Tagovailoa.
Wow.
Has the size and arm talent that you want. I was at practice last year, saw him rip a seam, and came away thinking this is a legit NFL guy.
Yeah. I have no question.
So he can let it go a little bit, huh?
I think if we're in the conversation of four or five first-rounders this year,
he has a chance to be in that back end. All right. Anything on Burrow?
Burrow, I got to talk to him. I enjoyed kind of having a conversation with him a little bit, but I just didn't jump out to me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you wrote.
Yeah, no, it's exactly the same thing. So it just didn't jump off the tape.
And that's not a bad thing.
I've heard he's got a chance. Yeah. He's healthy. They expect him to have a big year this year. We'll keep our eyes on him.
Surprising thing, though, for me is that camp, Foster Moreau was down there as well.
Yeah, big tight end.
It was Joe's buddy at LSU, now the fourth-round pick of the Oakland Raiders. And I didn't recognize him at first. I didn't recognize his face. I was like, and this guy's out here like directing traffic, like telling guys where to go, where to line up. And I'm like, who is this guy? What's he do? I was like, oh, it's Foster Moreau.
There you go.
So, and Derek Carr loves Foster, by the way, up in Oakland for my time up in Napa.
Good bonus nugget
there for you.
All right, cluster three. We've got KJ Costello from Stanford, Steven Montez from Colorado, Jacob Eason from Washington. So three Pac-12 guys. Then you've got Shea Patterson at Michigan and Ian Book from Notre Dame. So that's that cluster three. And it's kind of jammed in there. And I didn't put rounds on these guys.
Right.
It's early for that. But this, to me, if you're kind of saying forecasting, you're talking mid-round type guys based off where they are coming into the fall. We'll see where they go from there.
So I watched Montez. I think he can make some really good throws.
He's an athlete, very athletic kid.
Yeah, and he's got maybe the best receiver in college football to throw.
Oh, was he down there?
LaVishka was down there. Yeah. Yeah, he was
beautiful.
I mean, he's DK Metcalfish.
Yeah, he's just not that tall.
He's not that tall, but he is that build.
He is a brick. I mean, just getting a chance to visit with him at the Pac-12 media day—that's what you want to look like.
So the thing I'll say about Montez is I felt like he might have been a little reserved, a little bit introverted. Until his group that he was working with, his quarterbacks, asked him to like freestyle and like the
rap.
Kid's got some bars. Like,
really? Don't ever say kids got bars.
That does not work.
No, I just say he did a good job rapping.
Okay.
Yeah, you're trying too hard when you say he's got bars. That's like
what the kids say.
Nate Burleson can say that. You can't say that.
I can't say that?
No.
Oh, shoot.
He's
got some bars. I wrote that down. He's got bars.
If I hear you say he's got bars, I think he's selling me candy bars.
Well, that could be good too. But all right, fine. He can freestyle a little bit. Jeez. Yeah. Tough crowd over here.
I don't know. Go ahead.
By the way, I did want to mention before we get to, because he's not in your clusters here, Zach Thomas,
Appalachian State. Yes, my App State guy.
Yeah, he was there. We had a fun little conversation In fact, it went a little bit like this. I said, "Hey, Zach, good friends with a big fan of yours at our network, our lead NFL draft analyst, former App State quarterback."
I know where this is going.
Zach goes, "Who's that?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, Daniel Jeremiah." He goes, "Who?"
Oh, wow. Wow, Zach.
Dang.
Zach. Zach needs to take a history class up in the mountain. Come on, buddy. You're killing me.
So, sorry.
Wow. That's hurtful.
I'm kidding. He didn't say that. But
that hurts.
But he was...
Did he really say it? Be honest with me. He did. You're trying to save my feelings. That's how nice Red is. He's trying to now say it's a lie,
but
I know
this
it's true.
Back. No,
it's I know
not.
It's true.
He really did.
Do you still happen to have any records at App State that Zach might break?
To still have a record would indicate that I possessed
one
in the first place.
Yeah, so. No, I'm with you on that, too. All right. So anyway, sorry. Back to that cluster. Where are we here? So we did Montez. I obviously didn't see Shea Patterson. I saw him a couple of years ago while he was at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I didn't
run around.
Yeah, run around a little bit. Costello, I did not see.
I did Costello last year.
What do you think?
Interesting. I have my notes in another notebook, but he, to me, it was just consistently making the easier throws. He's big, he's strong, he's tough. But to me, it's going to, can you get through progressions a little bit more consistently? And then can you make those easy layups? That's going to be something he needs to work on underneath touch. But big, strong, and Coach Shaw loves him. He really loves this kid, really smart. So one to watch. That's why he's kind of been, again, that clump of guys that got some tools, and you want to see what happens with him this year.
Yeah, and so you're throwing Jacob Eason in there. We haven't even seen him at
Jacob
Washington,
Eason is
right?
From guys that went through there last year and just the buzz just around him and seeing him. Yeah. He's a big physical guy and kind of saying, okay, this is somebody to definitely watch. But last I had heard, he hadn't even secured the job.
Which, ask Tate Martell.
So, no question. But my comment on him in this little piece was, what's he going to be? Is this got a chance to be... somebody that's physically looks
right.
Like
it,
Justin
is
Herbert,
or
is this Christian Hackenberg? Yeah. And that was my fear, because you get some big, strong kid that just hadn't put it all together, and will he ever put it all together to be determined. But I know he is a big, physical guy, and teams have been impressed when they've just seen him out there on the practice field.
Really enjoyed spending some time with Ian Book, and, he may
How
not...
big is he? Is he... Because you know who he reminded me of?
Who?
He reminded me of McSorley.
I think he's taller than McSorley.
Okay, good.
Yeah. He reminded me of Brady Quinn. In the Notre Dame thing, probably.
He's not that big.
No, but he's not that tall.
Yeah.
But he is a rocked up dude. Like, he's a specimen. So, anyway, so we were doing quarterback wide receiver group drills. I had my group of wide outs. We were running routes. And so, this is probably Saturday. It's 100 degrees out. Ian comes over with his group of quarterbacks. And I'm like, hey, man, let's change things up a little bit. Let's get, both sets of receivers on one side. Let's run some two-man routes. You want to beat USC. What's your route combo? What are you going to run? And he jumped right in there. And I was going to coach the receivers up once he told me, but he jumped in there, moved the receivers around, showed them what they wanted to do. And I was really impressed. He and Alex Hornibrook, actually, transferred from Wisconsin to Florida State. I thought, man, commanded their group, right? We're not afraid to get out there, coach their guys, have some fun.
Is he an open book?
Oh, man.
Would you say he's book smart?
He's a bookworm.
Wow, nicely done.
Yeah,
nicely done.
He is.
So right, let's put this discussion in the books and get on to the next tier.
That's bad. So anyway, I was impressed with the way he commanded the huddle. I was impressed with his leadership, which I think is a thing, right? It's a thing we talk about here. So,
hey, look, if you're not going to laugh at my jokes, you can book it. All right? Just a little courtesy laugh. That's all I want out of you. That's all I'm looking for.
What's in cluster four?
Let's get to cluster four. Brian Lewerke, coming off a terrible year at Michigan State, but 2017
was
a good
thinking
year.
About that for
I hadn't. I was
days.
Just looking down at it. It was just right there for
Lewerke.
Me. Jalen Hurts, we'll see him in Oklahoma after
officially the starter now.
And this is, again, cluster four. This is the three kind of real wild cards. Kellen Mond, ultra athletic. Saw flashes in that Clemson game when he got a chance to have that duel there with Clemson. And I was like, man, this kid's going to be really good. And then the rest of the year was just kind of very up and down there at A&M. He'll be a junior. But those are kind of the guys, just kind of wild cards. Yeah. Jalen Hurts, I got a chance to visit with him at the Oklahoma Pro Day. Love him. I mean, just love being around him. I had a chance to visit with him at the Elite 11 the year before.
Oh, awesome.
And he's a great leader. And you can tell he's got the it factor. It's just a matter of whether or not he can consistently, accurately throw the football down the field. That's going to be something that, man, if you want to prove that, go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Successful. He's named the starter, so let's go.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I'm interested to see him get the, you know, just have the reins again, you know, in his hands. Okay, can I give you a couple of guys that weren't on your list?
Yes,
give that, that kind of couple of surprising eye catchers. I didn't know a lot about them before I got down there, but I wanted to know more. Colorado State, Colin Hill.
Okay.
So keep your eye out here. Bigger dude. I'd give him 6'4", 6'3", 6'4". Kind of had some like longish, longer blonde hair. I mean, like, he threw the ball really well. In fact, I went up to a bunch of different guys after a couple of workouts, and I was like, yeah, who impressed you? He's like, who's Colin Hill from Colorado State? And a couple of guys kept saying that. So keep that on your radar.
I haven't peeked at him. I did a receiver last year.
Yep.
Both receivers.
Yeah. That's right. Keep that on your radar. Hunter Johnson from Northwestern throws a nice ball. You know him from Clemson, right? Also, Jamar Smith actually throws a really nice ball. Like, has some real zip on the ball. He threw the Pro Bowl, which I loved.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple of guys did that, but he threw the Pro Bowl, which I liked. And then lastly, most improved year over year at the Manning camp, Jarrett Garantano, Tennessee.
Yep.
And
he's got some receivers to throw to, looking at them the other day. Ooh.
Really?
Yes. Tennessee's got some athletes outside.
I
got
to take a closer look there then. Jake Bentley, South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina.
Three-year staffer vet at MPA this year, and he won the skills competition this year.
Oh, he should. He had three shots at it.
That's right. That's right. But he looked way better from the first time I saw him 2 years ago.
All right.
So there you go.
There you go. All right. And we got a couple games coming up this weekend, Florida and Miami.
Yeah.
A couple guys. I'm going to give you a couple guys to look at here in this game. A little homework for you. If you're an NFL fan, you want to watch some college football this week, I'm going to give you a couple guys you need to
watch.
Where
are we starting?
Let's start with C.J. Henderson, the corner for the Gators. This is a year coming off of a draft year where the corner group was not all that inspiring. This year, it's outstanding. Jeffrey Okuda from Ohio State. Really good player. Christian Fulton from LSU, big-time player. And I would put C.J. Henderson right tucked in behind that group. He is right there, a really, really good player. He can go. There's two plays when I watched him against Vanderbilt and Tennessee last year where you see him in pursuit coming all the way across the field. I'm talking 60 yards, just hawking dude. So I know he's got legit speed. The only thing I want to see, can he be a little more consistent playing the ball down the field? He's shown flashes of it. Just be more consistent in that area. So watch C.J. Henderson, the corner from Florida. That's your assignment for them.
By the way,
yeah,
you might have a chance to watch him cover Tate Martell.
I know. He's not playing quarterback. You get him a shot at wide receiver. I think that's just... That's a layover on his way, probably. Somewhere else,
I guess.
That's my guess.
Anyway, that was a bit of an upset for me. I mean, I didn't expect... Tate to lose the battle, and two, I didn't expect Jaren Williams would be the emergence.
How about that?
Anyway, so.
And then one more nugget here for Miami.
Yeah.
Couple linebackers in Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pickney. Get a chance, 55 and 56, right in the middle of that defense. Pay attention to them. A lot of love on the streets. I haven't finished them yet, but scouts that have rolled through there said keep an eye. So that's your homework for that game. And then a simple assignment when you get to the night game, Arizona and Hawaii. It's Khalil Tate. Let's see how he does year two here with his coaching staff, with Noel Mazzone. Can he get more comfortable in the system? Are they going to cut him loose? I hope they cut him loose. Last year, trying to just make him, making him stay in the, but let this guy go, man. Rich Rodriguez cut him loose. I hope they do that. Kevin Sumlin does that with him in starting this game in Hawaii. On the East Coast, you got to stay up late to watch it. It'll be 10:30 Eastern, but it'll be worth it to watch him. And if not quarterback, which I think it's probably an uphill climb for him to play that position in the NFL, where do you play him?
Right.
And that to me is going to be fun to watch, see what he does.
Well, here I was doing some Khalil Tate research here. And by the way, finished last season, 2 touchdowns off Nick Foles' single season Arizona record for touchdown passes.
Yeah.
He threw 26 last year after coming back off that ankle injury. So when your offensive coordinator says this about you, just tell me what it does for you from a scouting perspective. I've been really impressed over the last 2 weeks of how he's kind of embraced the mental side of the quarterback position, starting to study defenses and understanding concepts and understanding that he's got very talented legs and a very talented arm. If he could use them both. But I think he's really buckled down and started to study the game of football.
Well, look, to me, and then we'll see how it pertains to the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I would almost say almost a curse of talent because
he could get so athletic. Right.
And so
there you go.
Why am I going to – I didn't study tape last week. I just ran for 300 yards.
Like, Which you did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that seemed to be working. Now, if you're going to continue to grow and evolve the position, though, that's part of it. And he's going to be. You want to know who I think he could be?
Who?
Taysom Hill.
Who?
So when you're watching Khalil Tate, just keep in mind what you've seen from Taysom Hill and how he's been able to function in that Saints offense. Roll him through there. He can cover kicks if you want him to do that. You can split him out at wide receiver a little bit. Zone read stuff. That's, to me, that's the image I have of him as an NFL player.
By the way, you did the game, right?
He was awesome.
And is there any way, if Drew Brees doesn't start a game, I said it in the booth.
I said, I don't know what the Saints are going to do, but I can tell you, as somebody who studied them to get ready for a preseason game, if I'm the opposing team and something happens to Drew Brees and I see Teddy Bridgewater run onto the field instead of Taysom Hill, I'm high-fiving whoever's next to me on the sideline. I would much rather take my chances against Teddy than I would against Taysom.
Look, I'm gonna.
I was a Teddy Bridgewater guy. He was my top quarterback coming out of that draft class. But I will tell you right now, Taysom Hill is a more dangerous, more effective NFL player at this point in his career than Teddy Bridgewater is.
Just go back and watch the quarterback challenges that the Saints do after every practice, and then come back and tweet me what your thoughts were. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not gonna say
from the Chargers practices that those got put out there. Yeah, it was not a great showing for Teddy.
Okay.
In those.
But lastly, on Tate. When Mazzoni was asked, will he run the ball more? Mazzoni says, I hope so. He's fast. So do we.
He's pretty fast.
So do we, man.
A little bit.
So
all right. This is the fun part here before we get out of here.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm going to give you, have the App State schedule in front of you.
I do.
I have the IU schedule in front of me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't spent a lot of time studying your squad.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to pick winners off the level of competition that we're playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready to go? Here we go. Let's go through the Hoosiers schedule, wins and losses. Going to start it off, Ball State.
At home.
It's an in-state rival, though.
Oh, it's not at home. That is a neutral site. That's going to be up at Lucas Oil.
Okay. All right. Wow.
That's a win.
I was leaning towards IU until I heard it wasn't a true home game.
It's a win.
I'm going to go IU with a close win.
Okay, fine.
Eastern Illinois.
You better win that one.
Overtime win.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Ohio State loss. UConn win. There. Yes. I mean, come on. Michigan State
at
loss.
East Lansing.
It's on the road.
Hey.
Rutgers is a win.
Yep.
At Maryland is a loss.
No. We dominated Maryland.
No, it's a loss. Ugh. At Nebraska, this is the shocking one.
You're going to give us a win there.
No, but it's going to be close. You're going to still lose.
Ridiculous.
Northwestern is a loss. What? At Penn State. Hold on now. At Penn State? Huh? No, it's a loss, too.
Yeah, the worst.
Michigan. The upset of all upsets is not going to happen here. That's a loss. At Purdue, rivalry game, give you the win.
Really?
One, okay. Two, three, four, five. One short of a bowl game, buddy. Sorry about that. Five.
So, but to give you look, that's kind of where we've been. That five-win team that's been looking to get the sixth and the seventh to guarantee yourself a bowl game. So, we've got to win.
Where is your win? You see my losses here. So, tell me which one you win. Hold on. Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, Michigan.
Here's what we have to do.
Who are you beating in that group?
We have to beat Maryland on the road
or
Northwestern at home to get to six. Then we need to pull off an upset of one of those big fours. Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, or Michigan. Got to beat one of those four.
Gosh,
every
the schedule's
year. That's
brutal.
That's every year,
brutal.
Man. That is what we are in that side of the Big Ten.
Let me go optimistic. Optimistic, you beat Maryland and you beat Northwestern, both home games.
Maryland's on the road, but...
Oh, sorry. Maryland, and then
we get seven.
You beat Northwestern. Win. That gets you seven.
Yeah.
That's a dream season right there.
I mean, it's not a dream season. It's a good
dream.
Season.
Let's see what
old App State's working with here. Coach Drinkwitz's first year as the head coach, right?
You're a Coach Drinkwitz guy. I love that.
Zach Thomas at quarterback. You didn't even name one player we had, by the way. It's ridiculous. It's the lack of respect that hurts the most. All right. East Tennessee State at home.
Anthony Thomas still play for you guys or no?
No. Okay. He does. He's still around the program, though.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. East Tennessee State. All right. I'm going to give you a win. I'm going to give you a win.
ETSU?
Give you a win at home, okay? Charlotte, I'll give you a win at home.
Gosh, we got a couple cuppies.
I'll give you a win at home.
Three cupcakes to start the season.
Yep. I'm going to give you a win over Bucky Brooks' North Carolina Orioles. Is the true freshman going to be starting still, do you think, for UNC at week three?
I got some intel.
What do you got?
Because I was gonna make a...
Are we going to, by the way, team up and pick a Bucky's season with the Tar Heels?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. But I was going to see if Bucky and I could have a friendly agreement, is the way I would call it. But I'm not dumb, so I don't know much about UNC's football team. So I reached out to some people that really know and have been around there, and I was not encouraged by what I got back. It was along the lines of, They think they're going to be better than people think. They've got some D-line talent. They've got a real good safety. They've got two good running backs. I said, well, it's going to be a you wear this hat, I wear that hat type of an arrangement then, because I'm not going to go all in if they're going to really be good.
Right.
UNC may be sneaky good. Who knows? But I still appreciate the win. I think we do
win. I'm going to give you a win there.
Okay.
I'm going to even give you a win against Coastal Carolina.
Not a bad program.
Okay, not a bad program. Okay. Is that Josh Norman, Coastal Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice pull.
There you go. Here's your first loss.
At Louisiana? Are you crazy?
In Lafayette, baby. The raging Cajuns.
Ask me how many times I've lost.
Eli McGuire. Come on.
I won in the overtime in Lafayette in a driving storm. The best thing, you know, the only thing I remember about that game, first of all, it was Brandon Stokely's group there playing against them. We won in overtime. I know I played. I know we won in overtime. I know it was a driving
rainstorm. I don't remember anything else.
The only thing I can remember is I got the best po' boy after the game.
Oh, it's great.
Because normally on the bus, they get like a pizza.
Subway sandwich.
And this is a po' boy, and it was like a dream.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to pick a loss for one of the two Louisiana schools, and I think Lafayette's better than Monroe, I think.
Yeah, 6-1, half dozen to the other. I went to Monroe, so I spent time there, so that one would be a little bit easier for me to stomach than...
that was Northeastern, right?
Northeastern, yeah. So let me just hold on. Let me just pull this up real quick because I want to make sure that I see the score of the game we had last year against the team. You just said 27-17 win at home. So
now you're going on the road.
Competitive. I'm not even going to get that upset at you.
You're going to lose to the Raging Cajuns, okay?
So we got one loss there.
Yeah.
We're not losing back-to-back games.
No, you're not. You're going to beat UL Monroe at home.
Yep.
I think you're going to lose to South Alabama on the road, down to Mobile.
South Alabama. You want to know what the score of that game was last year?
52-7.
I feel okay about that one.
Dang it.
Would you like to rethink that?
No, I'm good with it. Bounce back year.
52-7 we beat this team last year, and you're giving us a loss?
You're going to beat Georgia Southern. You're going to lose to South Carolina.
Come on.
You're going to beat Georgia State.
Yeah, of course. Not losing to Texas State.
You're not going to lose to Texas State, and you're going to lose to Troy in the finale. So, something tells me it's not going to be a Sun Belt championship for you guys.
Did I tell you that we the Louisiana that we beat them twice last year? We also beat them in the conference championship game.
So they're a pretty good squad. So you got a target on your back.
How did you just give us three losses?
I think
four?
I did three. I think I did three. I think I did Louisiana,
Troy?
You had Troy, and South Carolina. Oh, four. South Alabama. I give you four losses.
The team we beat by 45 points last year. Here's the deal.
Four. What do you got?
We're going to lose two games.
Okay.
We're going to lose to either one of the Carolinas, North or South. We were going to beat one of them. And then we're going to lose.
Jake Bentley's going to beat you, bud. It's going to happen.
Think so?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
All right.
You know what? Let me do this.
I'd like to go back to your schedule.
Let me give you South Alabama. Okay? Let me give you South Alabama.
we beat him by 45 last year. We have our whole team back. It's really kind of you.
What's Bill Belichick say about last year?
He lives in the past. He loves the past.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Bucky's real quick.
Okay.
Since we've already given him a loss week four, are they going to beat South Carolina at home to open the season?
Well, if you want to do the, what is that, the transitive property? I'm not a genius, but if you're saying that South Carolina is going to beat App State, then and App State's going to beat North Carolina, then I don't think North Carolina's going to beat South Carolina.
0-1.
Loss.
Okay, you give them Miami.
They're going to lose to Miami.
Okay, 0-2. They're going to beat Wake on the road.
Wake's better, 0-3.
Oof. 0-4.
Lose to App, they're 0-4. Clemson, 0-5. At Georgia, win.
No, hold on. You got to go triple option right after you take on Clemson?
It's not triple option anymore.
What?
Georgia Tech, new coaching staff.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hello, welcome. Welcome back to the party.
We like to bring the experts on when we talk college football.
Sorry.
Nice.
Here we go. Thanks. Let's edit that out.
Don't edit that out. Out him. All right. All right.
At Virginia Tech.
Loss.
Oh, boy. We haven't got a win yet.
Yeah, we do. We got.
Oh, we gave him Georgia Tech. Sorry. Okay. Duke, give him a win.
Okay. Virginia is going to be pretty good.
Yeah,
that's a loss.
Loss.
Pitt,
loss. Kenny Pickett, right?
They're going to beat Mercer.
Yeah, they are going to beat Mercer.
NC State rivalry game?
No way.
Going to loss?
This is a two-win team?
Wow, I think they're better than that.
Three wins. Where are you getting the third win?
Third win, I'm going to go Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's been heading in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Keep in mind, they only had one win last year.
Oh,
so this is an improvement, right?
It's improvement.
I guess four, right? I'm going to give them four. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. No, Duke and Mercer. That's four.
Okay, four.
Four wins.
That's 400% improvement.
There you go. How about that?
300%?
That was a lot of fun. I'm sure Bucky's going to enjoy listening to this episode. Big fan. Really, Brett had me
love Mac Brown.
Us losing to a team that could beat by 45 points last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Good night. Jeez. Some respect.
This is good. Thanks.
That was fun. How fun is it to talk college football?
There's nothing better.
I love it. Anyways, that's going to do it for us today. Rhett, great to see you, bud.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it. And Buck will be back next time, and we'll be talking about everything preseason, what we can expect as we march towards the NFL season. Appreciate everybody downloading and subscribing. All the video content, NFL.com/MTS video. There we go. And
there it is.
Find NFL.com.
Just bump back there.
Yeah. NFL.com/MTS prototype.
Yep, there you go. Play music again.
If you've missed that, run that loop one more time. Appreciate you guys listening. This has been Move the Sticks, presented by New Era. Catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.